the most trusted name in news. This is CNN Radio.
We're the Flying Elves, the Utah chapter.
So great. Mormons.
Provost Payne?
Utah.
Utah.
I'm afraid it was the Mormons. Yes, the Mormons were the correct answer.
I am Moroni. I am...
I'm telling you everything you didn't know you wanted to know.
The Unspoken.
You can't handle the truth!
With Steve Reiner.
Welcome to The Unspoken Word. It's Saturday at 1 o'clock. I'm Steve Reinhart. I'm your host. Every week, we tell you everything you never knew you wanted to know. We cover issues of culture, politics, economics, all related to the state of Utah. It's a beautiful day outside. It looks like motorcycles and muscle cars are back on the street. I have a couple of those myself and maybe getting them out soon. The Utah legislative session is coming to an end. Most of the bills that this radio station has been supporting have failed in the legislative session. And some of the legislators, particularly those from Davis County, outright lied to me about how they're going to vote on them. That's a subject for next week. This week, we're happy to have on Jonathan Johnson with us from Overstock. He's their senior vice president. We'll be talking to him about some things going on with Overstock, which is a very respectable Utah corporation. We're going to be doing a couple of shows in the coming weeks on other Utah corporations as well. We will have on, hopefully, the CEO, if not the CEO, a senior executive from Energy Solutions in a couple of weeks. We will also have on an executive from Browning next week. So stay tuned for those shows. We're going to be talking about things going on with those companies. Overstock, many of you know, has filed a lawsuit alleging that their stock has been manipulated by naked short sellers, and they're seeking $3.5 billion from all sorts of brokers and others. And we're going to be talking to Mr. Johnson about that. Quickly in the news this week, everyone's heard about the Trolley Square massacre, I guess you could call it. I saw on the television press conference from the FBI and Salt Lake Police, they said despite the fact that this young man who did this was Muslim, it was not terrorism related. That seems a little bit strange to me. I think anytime somebody goes into a mall with a loaded shotgun and shoots 9 random people, it's terrorism related. But that's a subject, once again, that we'll get into a little bit more next week. I want to introduce our guest today. We've got, as I mentioned, Jonathan Johnson with us. He has served as an attorney and has served in numerous corporations and law firms in California and here in Utah. The list is so long, I won't list everything out now, but he got his Juris Doctorate from Brigham Young University. It's a pleasure to have him on the show. I invited him on the show because, as many of you know, I myself have started a couple of internet companies. I started PrizeWise.com, DiamondBlaze.com, which is now eWatches.com. I got venture capital money for a couple of these companies. One of the companies was funded by a publicly traded company in Las Vegas. And they were constantly complaining about naked shorting. They thought it was something that was ruining their company, and it seemed to me that it was always kind of like Elvis. Everyone was claiming it was there. No one could really prove it. I know that it does go on. And Overstock seems to think that they have evidence that it is happening, and we're going to hear about it. First of all, Jonathan, thank you for being here. Steve, a pleasure to have you.
Steve, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Tell us, before we get into this whole thing, give us an overview about what Overstock is and then what naked shorting is.
Well, first let me just address, you mentioned the Trolley Square massacre, and I wanted to give our condolences to all the families that were touched by that. The Overstock community was touched by it, too. One of our leaders at our warehouse was killed in the shooting, and our hearts go out to everyone that was affected there.
Now, you had Vanessa Quinn was the employee of yours that was...
Vanessa Quinn, and I don't know if you know her story, but she and her husband had been married for several years and hadn't exchanged wedding rings and were going down to Trolley Square to buy wedding rings that they could exchange for Valentine's Day. And it was while she was in the jewelry store at Trolley Square that that she was shot and killed. Tragic story.
I just can't imagine. I've been thinking about this all week, and I hope that they figure out why this kid did it at some point. But certainly, if you know anybody who's been a victim in that, our sympathies and condolences go out to you here at the station as well.
Well, anyway, thank you for having me on. Let me give you a little info about Overstock. We are a Utah-based company, born and bred here. Started in 1999 as a online outlet. We were originally a liquidation site. We'd sell last year's products, help get them out to the consumers for big manufacturers. We've grown since then into just basically an online department store. You can get anything from books to jewelry to apparel to bedding. Anything you're looking for, you can get on Overstock. We went public in 2002. We trade on the NASDAQ. Last year we did about $800 million in sales. So that's who we are.
Big Utah company. A lot of employees. Certainly everyone around here knows who you are. And I certainly care about Utah and its culture and corporations, and I'm happy that Overstock's here in the state of Utah.
We don't think we could have built this company anywhere else other than Utah. The quality of employees that we've had, people of ability and character, are what has helped us do this here in Utah.
Now, your CEO, Patrick Byrne, has been complaining for months, maybe even years, about the manipulation of Overstock stock. He believes it's being manipulated by large brokers and people overseas, and the list goes on and on and on. Some people have criticized him because they think that he's exaggerated the extent of the problem. Other people agree with him and think that it is a big problem. Tell us, before we get into all that, tell us, what is naked shorting exactly?
Okay. Let me start by explaining what a long sale and what a short sale are.
Okay.
So if you're interested in Overstock and you think it's going to go up, you can buy shares, hope for them to go up, and if they go up, sell them at a profit. That's a long sale.
Which is the traditional approach people take to investing.
Exactly.
Particularly unsophisticated, unaccredited investors, right?
That's how most people invest. That's how you and I probably invest. Short sales or short sellers are people who are betting against the company. And what they do is they borrow stock that someone else owns, sell it to a third party, take that money, hope that the stock price goes down, and when it goes down, buy it out in the market and return it to the lender. And what they've made is the difference between what they sold it for and what they bought it for.
They're betting the stock will go down and making the difference.
Absolutely. That's exactly right. And that is a perfectly legal transaction, and it helps provide information to the market, creates liquidity in the market. We think short sellers are good. There is a class of short selling, though, that is not good, and that's illegal. And it's often referred to as naked short selling. And the reason it's naked or referred to as naked is because the short seller doesn't borrow it before he sells it. So basically he sells what he doesn't have, takes the money from the purchaser, and ultimately can't deliver those shares. And it creates what's called by the SEC a fail to deliver. So he's taken money but never delivered anything. And that's the crux of a naked short sale.
A lot of companies are worried about this kind of thing. You're not the first company to sue over it. Most of the other companies, and I have a list of them here, I'll get it out in a second, have not been successful in the lawsuits that they filed. It's been hard to prove that it's actually occurring and what the magnitude of the problem is. How do you know that this is actually occurring and that it's affecting Overstock stock?
Okay, that's a great question. 2 years ago, at the beginning of 2005, the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission that regulates our markets, mm-hmm. passed a regulation called Regulation SHO for short, also called Regulation SHO. And that regulation acknowledged that naked short selling is a problem, and what it required the exchanges, NASDAQ and the New York Stock Exchange, to do was publish a list every day of companies that had excessive fails to deliver or excessive naked short selling happening in their stock. So every day, the NYSE and NASDAQ publish lists that include hundreds of companies that have significant amounts of naked short sales in their stock. And Overstock went on that list in January of 2005, as soon as the regulation was enacted, and we've been on that list almost every day since. So we know that every day, day after day, week after week, month after month, there are a significant amount of fails to deliver in our stock. In other words, people are selling our stock, taking money from investors, and not delivering anything for it.
So obviously the SEC is following this because they require these filings, but they permit it to continue to happen. And I know that their powers aren't unlimited. They can't prosecute or make arrests. But, I mean, should they be doing more, and why are they not?
They should be doing more. They should be stopping it. It's really a form of fraud that's happening on the American public. And in July of last year, Chairman Cox, who's the chairman of the SEC, acknowledged that Reg Sho, while working in some respects, is not working well enough. And they've proposed amendments to Reg Sho, but not amendments that go far enough. What they really need to do is, before someone can short sell a stock, they should require that that stock be actually borrowed from somebody else. If the short seller has borrowed it from somebody, he'll have it so that he can deliver. Right now, the rules only require the seller to locate the stock. And locating a stock and actually borrowing it are two very different things.
Interesting. And in this lawsuit, and I've got a copy of it here, we'll put a link to it on the website. You can go there and read it if you want to. You are accusing several prime brokers and banks of allowing this kind of naked short selling to happen. You filed this lawsuit this week. What's the outlook for this lawsuit? Are you expecting to be successful? The SEC criticized the lawsuit that you filed a year and a half ago. There's an article about it in the Tribune this morning. How do you expect this will turn out?
Well, we wouldn't file it if we didn't expect to be successful. So the short answer to your question is yes, we expect to win this lawsuit. What we've done is we've sued 9 of the largest prime brokers in the country. These prime brokers control about 80% of the market, and they are the ones that are claiming to lend or are supposed to be helping settle the trades that aren't settling. So, for example, if I want to short sell, let's say Krispy Kreme donuts, I can call up Bear Stearns and say, I'd like to borrow 100,000 shares of Krispy Kreme donuts to short. If I do that, I need to get those shares from them. We think that these broker dealers, that these prime brokers, when they're entering into those transactions, aren't following through and settling those trades, and thus they're manipulating our stock because people who buy it think they have it, and what it's doing is creating phantom shares in the market. Our company has issued about 20 million shares. The SEC tells us that there are over 4 million trades that have, or about 4 million trades that have failed to deliver. So the market thinks there are 24 million shares out there.
Hold that thought. We're going to take some calls after the break, maybe during the next segment or the one after that. Give us a call if you have questions or comments. Talking to Jonathan Johnson, Senior Vice President of Legal Affairs at Overstock. Phone numbers, 801-254-5855, Salt Lake, Provo 470-5855, Ogden 670.
AM 630, KTKK.
Just put some love in your heart.
Let's talk more about putting love in your heart. If you want to open to more love in your heart and in your life, give us a call Saturday mornings at 11 a.m. Let's talk relationship.
The Relationship Show, Saturday mornings, 11 a.m. Brought to you by the Lighthouse Inn, a mountain retreat at 8,000 feet.
Thank you.
Welcome back to K-Talk. I'm Steve Reinhart. I'm your host. Every Saturday at 1 o'clock, we talk about issues that relate to Utah culture, history, politics, religion. We've got Jonathan Johnson, who's the Senior Vice President of Corporate Affairs and the Legal Department at Overstock, with us, talking about the lawsuit that Overstock filed this week for $3.5 billion, alleging that their stock's being manipulated by various individuals and organizations who are naked short selling it in violation of federal law and presumably state law. So what are the state laws, Jonathan, regarding this kind of thing?
Well, it's interesting. Last year, during the legislative session, the Utah legislature recognized that naked short selling was a big problem. And they passed a bill which was really a transparency or a sunshine law. And what it required was broker-dealers that are licensed in the state of Utah, which most of them are, if they are failing to deliver shares that they claim to have sold, they need to disclose to the State Department of Securities how many shares have been failed to deliver and who's failed to deliver. It's basically just a sunshine law. Transparency in the market is a great thing, and the Utah legislature recognized that. After the governor signed that law, but before it went into effect, the Security Industry Association, which is the lobbying group for Wall Street, filed a lawsuit against the state of Utah, claiming that law was unconstitutional and preempted by federal law. It's interesting that the securities industry is so opposed to having more transparency on their side of the trades. Companies right now have to be extremely transparent. If Overstock, as a publicly traded company, enters into any kind of material contract, we need to file the details of that contract within 4 days so investors know about it. If one of our officers buys or sells stock, we have to file documents with the SEC within 2 days. We're all about transparency. But on the flip side, those that are trading in our stock are allowed to do it in the dark corners, in the shadows. And so Utah has recognized their problem. And then this year, several state legislators in Arizona, Virginia, Oklahoma, Missouri have introduced laws very similar to the Utah law, looking to Utah as kind of the leader to get this problem fixed.
So Overstock is alleging $3.5 billion in damage, which is a big figure, although your market cap's a pretty big figure as well. How do you come up with that amount, and what do you expect to find during discovery?
Well, how we come up with the amount is something I don't want to go into on the air. Our okay. outside counsel will get frustrated if I disclose how we did it. But let me say,
I understand. Certainly, there are things you can't talk about.
The number is specific. It's 3.48 million. It's not a made up number. 3.48 billion. It's not a made up number. It's a number that we've had experts provide. Expert economists come up and have done good calculations that we think we'll be able to get. Once discovery starts, we expect to find out from these prime brokers, the Merrill Lynches, the Morgan Stanleys of the world, how many failed trades they've had, how many times they've facilitated taking purchasers' money without ever delivering shares to them.
Interesting. And how many attorneys do you have in your legal department?
Well, in-house we have five attorneys, we have some crack outside counsels working on this. They are sharp, sharp, sharp. In fact, the head litigator on this case is a fellow named John O'Quinn, who's located down in Houston. And he's the person that took on Big Tobacco for the state of Texas and won a
big trial lawyer
$17 billion judgment for the state of Texas. We figured anyone who could fight and beat Big Tobacco could fight and beat the street as well. So we're happy to have him on our side.
You're in for a fight, I'm sure, going up against these names that I'm reading in the lawsuit. They have budgets that could bankrupt the entire state of Utah, probably.
More money than the government, I suspect. And, you know, paying $1,000 an hour for white-shoed New York attorneys, they won't even blink an eye at that.
Now, according to the articles I've read, most of these companies have no comment. They're not commenting to the media. They're not commenting to anybody else. Do you know anything about how they feel about this suit? Are they worried about it? Do they take it seriously? Are they
do they acknowledge that there's a problem at all, or do they think that you guys are up in the night and that this is frivolous?
They've contacted our attorneys and are preparing a response. I think they should take it seriously. It's a big deal. It's a big deal, and when we get to go in with flashlights and bolt cutters during discovery, we expect to find some significant fraud that they've been conducting.
Okay. And so is it a problem that you think that they understand, or is it something that you think they will come to understand as they start to research it themselves? Do you believe that they're actually colluding with these naked short sellers, or that it's just the lax laws have facilitated this kind of thing really without their complicity in the entire thing?
I think they know exactly what's going on. And anytime there is a way to make money, the street's going to exploit that. Right now, with the proliferation of hedge funds, there's a lot more shorting going on in the market. Hedge funds, by their nature, hedge long bets with short bets. And so shorting has increased over the past several years. What that's meant is that the stock loan desks at these prime brokers have increased in significance. And where they used to get 2-3% per annum to loan shares to short sellers, now they're getting a lot more money. I'd like to tell you what they're getting with overstock, if there's time.
Hold on. We'll be right back. Yeah, we'll have time to continue talking about this. Give us a call. We'll take callers next break. Salt Lake 254-5855. That's area code 801. Provo 470-5855. Ogden 670-5855. Talking to Jonathan Johnson with Overstock.
630 KTKK.
Where could you see Mickey, Minnie, Cinderella, Buzz Lightyear, Goofy, and many more of your Disney friends? At Disney on Ice Presents, a Disneyland adventure. Join Disney Pixar's The Incredibles for a fun-filled day at the park. March with Mickey and Minnie in the Main Street USA. Plunge into fun with the Pirates of the Caribbean. Rocket through Space Mountain with Buzz Lightyear.
To infinity and beyond.
Thrill to the chills of a haunted mansion. And swing to the beat on the Jungle Cruise with Baloo.
Come on, let's get with the beat.
Join the Incredibles at Disney on Ice presents a Disneyland adventure. See your favorite Disneyland attractions become an amazing ice spectacular.
Playing March 14th through the 18th at Energy Solutions Arena. Get your tickets today at the arena box office and all Ticketmaster outlets. Or log on to DisneyOnIce.com.
Welcome back to K-Talk. I'm Steve Reinhart. I'm the host during this hour. My pleasure to be talking with Jonathan Johnson of Overstock. I don't know where that girls just want to have fun music came from. I thought we got rid of that during the holidays, but it seems to have come back on us. It's a pleasure to have you all with us. This show and others are archived, will be archived, excuse me, on the website, www.stephenreinhart.com. You can go there to hear it. We'll have it up in a couple of hours after the show ends. Talking, as I mentioned, to Jonathan Johnson. I'm sorry about that commercial break. These things pop up on us and interrupt us a little bit as we run along.
We've got to pay the bills, right?
You were telling me on the break you'd like to see a federal solution to this naked short selling problem. What kind of federal solution would you like to see?
Well, we'd like the SEC to do just what Utah has done and what several states are proposing. We'd like there to be more transparency on the trading side. We'd like them to require the disclosure of every fail to deliver. So if a broker is out there selling shares and taking money of any stock and not delivering, that should be disclosed. And people should know how often it happens and in what volume it happens.
Now, would that solve the problem entirely? Is some of this stuff happening overseas? I guess even if it were happening overseas, it would still be involving these U.S. prime brokers.
Yeah, I'm not sure that would solve it completely, but anytime you put transparency in the system, it's a good thing. I think one thing that would solve it, and it's where we used to be in the markets, used to be before you could sell short a stock, you had to borrow it. Now you just have to locate it. And what happens is, let's say I want to short Netflix, let's say, and I call up my broker at Merrill Lynch and I say, do you have 100,000 shares that you can loan me? He'll say yes. Maybe all he has is 100,000 shares. And Steve, you call him up and you want to short the same stock, the same Netflix. You call him up and say, hey, I'd like to short 100,000 shares of Netflix. Do you have it? He says yes, because he does. We both sell those shares into the market. Only one of us is going to be able to actually borrow them from the broker because he's only got 100,000 shares, which means one of us is going to create a fail to deliver. We're going to take someone's money and not be able to deliver. And late last year, there was a lawsuit filed by a number of hedge funds against these same prime brokers saying, we had located stock with you that you could not deliver when we came to borrow it. So we think another thing that the SEC should do is go back to a firm pre-borrow or a pre-locate, where when they're located, they're tattooed as somebody. So if I locate them first, you can't locate them the same shares multiple times.
I see. Let's take a quick caller. We've had a couple of problems with the phone lines. Hopefully we can get this person on all right. Caller, you're on the air. Caller? We'll see if we can get somebody working on that phone problem we seem to be having. Some of your shareholders and others have criticized you about this lawsuit, about some of the allegations that Patrick Byrne is making regarding this type of naked short selling. Are your shareholders pleased that you're pursuing this lawsuit, or do some of them see it as being a Band-Aid to cover the $97 million loss that Overstock sustained this last quarter?
Well, I think that's two issues there. Do our shareholders like this lawsuit? We have shareholders all the time that say, give them help, that they are pleased with this lawsuit and want us to fight forward. There are others that say, hey, focus on the core business. Enough with the lawsuits. Mm-hmm. To the criticism that these lawsuits are a smokescreen for bad results, that's just a red herring. That's like saying, if only you ran a better liquor store, you wouldn't get robbed. It's our duty is to run the best liquor store we can. And if we go out of business because we can't run a good liquor store, well, that's our fault. But it's the cop on the beat's job to make sure that we don't get robbed. Mm-hmm. Here, the SEC is the cop on the beat. They should be making sure that our stock price isn't pushed down by people putting phantom shares into the market through naked short selling. By the way, I will have to say, I think we're in for a much improved 2007. I think our business we are focused on it, and we've made a lot of improvements there. So I think we're running a good liquor store.
Well, I'm sure that any of your shareholders listening will be happy to hear that.
Yeah.
Sales on Overstock, are they related at all to the share price? If the stock's going down, do you guys sense that shares are going down? They would seem to be completely unrelated things, except for I know CEOs of other publicly traded companies that feel like business on their website slows down when the share price is doing poorly.
Perhaps it does. I think the average consumer, it's probably not that important, but vendors, banks, people that we're getting lines of credit from, they care about the share price. They care about our market cap. So running the business, the share price factors into that. People coming to Overstock.com, finding a great deal, purchasing a down comforter, I'm not sure that makes a difference.
We have a commercial break in just 1 minute, but quick facts about Overstock. How many products do you have online? How many users do you have? Can you disclose that?
Yeah, we've got, I'm not going to know those exactly, but at least 8 million customers we've had. We've got millions and millions of customers, and we've got tens of thousands of products online at any given time.
Okay. And business will be much improved in 2007 because you're making changes to the way the website works? Or?
Sure. We've made some great changes to the website. I think if you've been to our website over the past several months, you'll see it's cleaner. It's easier to find things. People that are searching for things are finding them more easily. Our warehouse is running smoothly. The cost for us to get a package out has never been lower. So I think our operations are pretty good right now.
I think, if I recall, Amazon and eBay have both said the television commercials didn't work for them as well as they thought they would. Are your television commercials paying off?
We've liked our television commercials. We think everyone knows about the Big O as a result of the television commercials. We pushed them hard when we had 4% name recognition. Our name recognition now is up in the 60s. It's a lot higher. We've pulled back a little bit on TV commercials, but when the time is right, we'll step on the gas again.
We got a commercial break coming up in just 2 minutes. We'll have our call screener figure out some of these phone problems that seem to be going on. If you do have a question or comment, we will make sure we get you on the next break. Please give us a call, 254-5855. Talking to Jonathan Johnson of Overstock, Senior Vice President there. Obviously, the website is overstock.com. We will put this show up at StephenReinhart.com. And as always, if you are having problems receiving this station, you can listen to it on the internet at any time, www.k-talk.com. Don't forget that hyphen. We used to have the station up at the K-Talk without the hyphen site, but something happened there. Maybe we need more people with internet experience working here at the station. We will be right back with Jonathan Johnson.
AM 630 KTKK.
Do you have a house or property you need to sell fast? Are you having a house, tenant, or life problem you need to get rid of? Do you need debt relief fast? Do you owe more on your home than you can sell it for? Then call Easy Home Solutions today at 801-302-1134. We solve house problems, whether it's job loss or transfer, divorce, bankruptcy, undesirable tenants, or any other situation. Give us a call. We would love to help. Best of all of our services are free and confidential. Call us today. Easy Home Solutions at 801-302-1134.
Hello, this is Robert Shaw, the Solic Hypnosis Center. I've helped hundreds of clients. Here's a real testimonial that hypnosis really does work from Mike T. Just this September. Just a short letter to thank you and tell you I am now a firm believer in the value of hypnotherapy. Since meeting with you about 1 year ago, you successfully helped me overcome the following. Nail biting. I have rid myself of decades old habit and restored my self-confidence. Pain therapy. I'm working toward overcoming a foot pain that has affected my way I walk. Sports improvements. This is giving me mental edge in the game of golf, controlling my mind to improve the game. Sincerely, Mike T. Call the Solic Hypnosis Center now to schedule your life-changing session. 261-1441. That's 261-1441.
Welcome back to K-Talk, telling you everything you never knew you wanted to know. No, this is AM 630, the voice of Utah. Happy to have on Jonathan Johnson from Overstock with us. As we've been talking about the last couple of segments, Overstock has filed a lawsuit this week against numerous brokers and other organizations involved in the stock market, alleging $3.5 billion in damages to Overstock stock by naked short sellers, market manipulators. Other companies have filed similar lawsuits in the past, including Pet Quarters, NanoPierce Technologies, and I don't recognize all of these names, but there have certainly been other companies that have been very concerned about this type of manipulation. And it seems to have a large effect on the system. And what kind of effect maybe has never been determined? What kind of effect do you think it's having
on the
public market?
We think it has some huge effects. And I'd like to talk about three in particular.
All right.
When a large amount of naked short selling occurs and phantom shares are put out in the market, more people think they own shares than actually own them. And one of the side effects of that is that corporate voting becomes a sham. If you think you own shares and the broker sends you a proxy each year, you submit your votes. But, for example, Overstock has about 20 million shares issued and outstanding. If there are 4 million shares that have been created through naked short selling, brokers will send out 24 million proxy ballots. Well, that means the vote is not one share, one vote. It's something less than that. And we fought wars in this company, or in this country, about the right to vote. Now, admittedly, that's not for corporations, but when people own a share, they should have a full vote. So that's one thing. Another is that companies and shareholder value is destroyed. Anytime you can artificially increase supply without changing the demand, if you go back to economics 101, and I break out in hives when I think of my econ 101 class, but artificially increasing supply without demand, that pushes the price down. And as the price goes down, shareholder value is destroyed, companies are destroyed, it makes it much more difficult for them to access the capital market, sustain their companies that way. The third effect that we see is we think market integrity is destroyed. The U.S. capital markets are the greatest capital markets in the world. But when people can't trust what's going on, when there's not that integrity there, the capital markets are at risk. And we think there's a crack in the system, a crack that's being exploited by these prime brokers that we've sued. And if that crack gets, if a wedge gets pushed too far into that crack, we think the system could break.
You guys are on the NASDAQ. You're a medium-sized company on the NASDAQ.
Mm-hmm.
Are other medium-sized companies, small companies, large companies being affected by this?
Sure. Both the NASDAQ and the NYSE put out a list daily of companies that are. In the past 2 years, over 4,000 companies have been put on this Reg Show threshold list, either by the NYSE or by the NASDAQ. So this isn't something that's happening in just isolated cases. It's affecting thousands and thousands of companies. And some of them have been on this list for hundreds of days, even multiple years.
And they have not filed similar suits in most situations. Is it just because they put up with it, or they don't have the legal means to file this kind of a lawsuit?
Well,
or is it?
Some have. As you mentioned, there were a couple. You mentioned NanoPierce when we came back from the break. Right. NanoPierce, I've been following that case fairly closely. They just had hearings in front of the Nevada Supreme Court that went well, and I suspect they're going to be able to delve into discovery fairly soon. But you're right. The majority of companies don't make as big an issue about this as we have. And I think a lot of that has to do with when you say that the regulators aren't doing their jobs, it's like poking the sheriff in the eye, and you get more scrutiny. And there are a lot of companies that have come to us privately and have said, hey, Pat, Jonathan, you guys at Overstock are doing a great service to us, but we can't step out in the fore with you because we don't want to be under the increased scrutiny that naturally comes when you engage in this fight.
Now, has Overstock been targeted for some reason more than the other companies, in your opinion? Do these naked shorters look for certain companies that they think are more vulnerable than other companies?
Well, it seems to me that there's a pattern. It seems to us there's a pattern of companies that they look at. Often companies that have small public float, in other words, are held a lot by insiders, which is the case with us. The float's smaller, so it's easy to manipulate. A lot of times it's young entrepreneurial companies that need access to the capital markets. Companies they pick on a lot are small tech companies or biotech companies. Think of the biotech company that's trying to develop the cure for some disease, and it's their cure is going through FDA approval. They're going to tap the capital market as little as they can at today's price because their drug isn't approved yet. But when the drug gets approved, their stock price will go up, and then they can tap the capital market for money at a better valuation. Well, if naked shorters can manipulate that stock down, they may never have access to the capital market. That drug that's going through FDA approval, the company may go out of business, and it may never happen. So we think that particularly small entrepreneurial companies are the target of these miscreants.
Other Utah companies that have complained about this, there have been other ones. What are the other? Are there other big tech companies in Utah that have been hurt by this also?
iMergent has been on the regulations show threshold list quite a bit. SkyWest, St. George has been on the list. Merit Medical here in Salt Lake, all have been on the reg show threshold list. Now, none of them have taken the four like Overstock has, but most of them have been supportive, have contacted state legislators last year when the Utah legislature passed the bill that it did. So there have been, I think there have been about 50 Utah companies that at one time or another have appeared on this list that shows they're being manipulated by naked short sellers.
Now that you filed this lawsuit, just the fact that you filed it, is it going to put these prime brokers on notice? Are they going to start cracking down a little bit, and perhaps we can expect the stock to go up because of it, because hopefully the problem will cease just since you've made such a big deal about it? Do you expect that?
Well, we'd hope that they take this lawsuit seriously. It is a serious lawsuit, and we hope that they would stop their fraudulent acts. What the effect of all of that would be on our stock price, I don't know for sure. I'm not in the business of predicting whether the stock goes up and down, but we really think that the broker should take this seriously because it's a serious suit, and we expect to be able to prove that what they've done is against the law.
We really appreciate you being with us today. We've got a break coming up in just a minute, and I'd like to give you a couple of minutes in the next segment to make some final closing comments about this. Is Patrick, everything you've said today, does he feel that way and stronger? He believes that it's a huge problem.
You bet. Like. You bet. He's the one that has been in the fore. That the metaphor he's used is he says, look, I've poured kerosene on myself and lit myself on fire in an attempt to try and get attention brought to this issue. He's fully behind this. He is the lead advocate for finding a solution to this. Now, that said, he's really tapped me to captain this fight, make sure we get it fixed, and he is focused on running our business and making sure we improve and get to a point where we're profitable.
So you're marshaling the resources, the five attorneys in the legal department, the Texas law firm.
We've got attorneys in California. We work with legislators back in Washington all the time. It's a real war.
We'll give you just 2 minutes to wrap up when we get back. We will be right back here on the Voice of Utah, KTOC, AM 630.
AM 630, KTKK.
For years, Michael was a dairy farmer.
My dad had lived on a dairy farm. My mom was the daughter of the town banker.
But kidney failure kept him from living the life he dreamed of. Hundreds of people in your community are learning new job skills at Deseret Industries. When you donate goods to Deseret Industries, you give people like Michael a second chance.
I needed them to hire me so I could feel useful again.
Deseret Industries, getting the most out of what you've given.
Welcome back to K-Talk. Steve Reinhardt here. Happy to be with you as always. We've only got just a few minutes left in the program. I promised we'd get to some callers. We were having some problems with the phone lines a little bit earlier. We're going to see if we can take two quick callers right now. I think we've got these problems wrapped up. We've got Dave and Sandy on our Salt Lake County line. Go ahead, Dave.
Yes, Steve, I'd like to ask your guest, is selling short just simply selling on a tip that the stock is going to go down, and then perhaps maybe future buying when the stock is low? Is it nothing more than just profit taking?
Well, we covered that a little bit earlier, but go ahead with your...
Dave, that's a good question. Selling short is betting that the stock's going down. And short selling per se, there's nothing wrong with that. As long as when you sell the shares, you can deliver them and do it that way. But that's what short selling is, and that's fine. It's when people naked short and they sell shares they don't have and haven't borrowed.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, that clarifies it. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call, Dave. I appreciate you listening. So, Jonathan, it's been a real pleasure having you out with us today. I don't know if we've got time for any of the rest of the callers, but give us a quick two-minute wrap-up of what you think, where you think this Overstock's headed in the future with this lawsuit, with the other things that they've got going on, and any final comments you've got about this whole situation.
Well, our lawsuit against prime brokers was filed just last week, so it's clearly in the nascent stages. But we expect to be successful. We expect that as discovery begins, we're going to be able to prove the fraud that we've alleged. And we think it's going to be a big victory for us. We think the company, we're focused on running our company. The lawsuit's not getting in the way of that. I'm pretty bullish on Overstock these days.
Let's see if we, you know, let's try to take one final caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Oh, I was just curious about Jonathan Johnson. One question, there was an attorney with his similar name that used to live in California on Manning Ave, and if that's not him, I'd like to know a little bit about his history.
Well, we read his bio earlier on, but go ahead, John.
That's my father. Small world. I was 4 years old when we lived on Manning Avenue, so small world.
Well, what's your history as an attorney, Mr. Johnson?
I graduated from BYU, clerked for Justice Russin with the Utah Supreme Court, practiced in private practice in California for about 7 years, and have been at two different companies doing in-house work in Utah for about 8 years.
Thank you.
He is the Senior Vice President of the Legal Department at Overstock. And it's been a real pleasure having you on the air with us today. We had a few callers we weren't able to get to, Jonathan, and I apologize. But the information you've given us is great, and I'm sure that there will be people that are interested in hearing it once we get it posted on the website, which will be just a couple of hours from now.
Steve, thanks for having me on. We appreciate the forum, and pleasure to talk to you.
Well, we're going to follow what happens with the lawsuit. I'm going to be keeping track of it in the news, and so if anything really interesting happens, get in touch with me, or I'll get in touch with you, and maybe we can have you back on.
I'd love to do it.
To keep covering it. Stay with us for just another minute here. We'll wrap the show up. We've got just about 60 seconds left on the air. That was Jonathan Johnson with the Legal Department of Overstock, Senior Vice President over there. I'm Steve Reinhart. This is The Unspoken Word. We're going to be talking to Browning and Energy Solutions in coming weeks. Energy Solutions recently paid to have the Delta Center renamed after them. They are storing low-level nuclear waste in Clive, Utah, 65 miles west of Salt Lake City. They want to start storing more high-level nuclear waste out there. Controversial thing, I have a copy of an inter-office memorandum from their company that I am going to be reading in a couple of weeks. I think that they believe that us here in Utah, we're pushovers, and that they can store these chemicals, some of which have a half-life of 2 million years out there in the West Desert. We're going to be discussing whether that's a good thing or not. Stay tuned for that program. It'll be 2 weeks from now. I have, and many of you know, I also have been to law school. I am not a practicing attorney, but I've got friends who work for the U.S. Attorney's Office. It's becoming an increasing problem, firearms crimes around the state of Utah. The U.S. Attorney's Office prosecutes felons, restricted persons who are in possession of firearms, because they have jurisdiction over these people because these firearms have been in interstate commerce. They've been manufactured out of state. They've come into the state. And Browning is a local Utah manufacturer. Some criminals now are carrying Browning guns, apparently, only to avoid federal jurisdiction if they're arrested for these firearm violations, in which case they're prosecuted by the Attorney General rather than the U.S. Attorney. It's becoming an increasing problem. They get off a lot easier when they're prosecuted by the state rather than by the feds. We're going to be talking about that. Browning is a great company. Overstock's a great company. I'm happy that we have these companies here in the state of Utah, and I wish we had more. We'll be getting into some of the tax issues that face the state. We had a $1.5 billion surplus that the legislature has been dealing with here in the state of Utah. We're going to be talking about how that is being divided up and how it should be divided up to maximize economic growth here in the state of Utah. Stay tuned for all those programs. As always, my pleasure to be with you. Linda Strasberg will be on next. Please stay tuned for her. As always, you can hear this show and others at www.stephenreinhart.com. You can go to the KTalk station website to hear the show live at any time, www.k-talk.com. Quick word on a couple of the show's sponsors. If you need a good website, call I4 Solutions in Woods Cross, 294-6400. They are the largest web design company here in the state of Utah. You can make good money starting internet companies. Give them a call. If you need free legal forms, if you don't want to hire an attorney, you just need something simple, a will or organizational documents for a corporation or LLC, go to The Opticon, www.theopticon.com. Been a pleasure to be with you, and a pleasure to hear from Jonathan Johnson today.
630 KTKK.